As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that only knows two things, kicking butt and reviewing movies. And if we're being honest, we're not actually that good at the butt kicking. It's SIFPOP. Welcome to SIFPOP Weekly, streaming live most Fridays, or available to download later in your podcast feed, unless, of course, you're a patron.
Patrons get perks.
Patrons get those perks.
I'm not even good at fighting.
That's what I said.
I'm not even good at movie reviews.
I would disagree. I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and he's not just an actor I convinced to play a podcast co-host. Well, actually, he kind of is, but it's a long story. Anyway, it's Andrew Ormsby, ladies and gentlemen.
Ahoy!
Each week, we'll chat about movies, TV, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. Good Friday morning to you, sir.
Yes, and a good, not good Friday, but it is a good Friday morning.
Yes. I mean, it is spring, so,
yeah,
you know.
It's coming up, isn't it? It's in April?
Yeah, or? coming up here soon. But no, I just mean a pleasant Friday morn to you, good fellow.
Merry Friday to you as well.
We're recording on a Friday morning, which is a rare occasion, and several people hanging out live watching us anyway. So thanks for hanging out and watching live. We're coming off the Spaskers, where we had a nice group come and watch what was going on. And what are you thinking, Andrew?
My eyes see Oppenheimer.
My eyes see a good show ahead of us. We've got two movies we're going to review: Kung Fu Panda 4, which we weren't able to get to last week because of the Oscars, and then Ricky Stanicky, which I thought until I watched the movie was Ricky Stanicky, but it's not. It makes more sense to be Ricky Stanicky. That sounds better. On Prime, the John Cena movie. Our best ever challenge, best ever Jack Black movies, best ever movies that Jack Black has been in. And of course, we'll do some buried treasure at the end as well. But let's get right into it. No need to wait. Let's talk a little bit about Kung Fu Panda 4.
Once I possess the kung fu of every master villain, no one will dare question my power.
Not even the great dragon warrior.
Who's that?
The most powerful shape-shifting sorceress, the chameleon.
How do I find this, the chameleon?
I'm gonna lead you right to her front door.
Yeah! It was against an army!
Then we'll just have to get an army of our own.
Poe is gearing up to become the spiritual leader of his Valley of Peace, but also needs someone to take his place as Dragon Warrior. As such, he will train a new Kung Fu practitioner for the spot and will encounter a villain called the Chameleon, who conjures villains from the past. Kung, kung, kung. Kung Fu Panda. Nope, that's not what it is. Kung Fu Panda has been, I think, a well-performing series, franchise for DreamWorks. And I think the movies have overall been pretty good. So what did you think about the fourth entry, Kung Fu Panda 4? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
Low side of liked it.
Low side of liked it. I'm going to go with high side of just okay. So we're pretty similar.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit lower. So why don't you start us off? Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on Kung Fu Panda 4.
I'll tell you, there's one reason why this gets a low side of liked it and not a just okay, where I would be right there with you. And that's because Jack Black's cover of Hit Me Baby One More Time is that good.
It plays over the credits. So literally a song playing over the credits.
It's amazing.
It is a great cover. It is definitely a great cover.
But honestly though, I think that the movie does have a little bit of heart to it. It is kind of paint by numbers. If you should we say that we're not the target demographic for this movie, because even DreamWorks, I think that the original Kung Fu Panda kind of had that magic where it was great for adults as well as kids. This one, I think, is just a straight up kids movie.
I don't know. There's still some thematic stuff that might go over kids' heads. You know, I'm not saying you can't have heart in a kids movie, but a lot of times I think of like a kids movie as just like lowest common denominator, you know, fart jokes. And there is one of those. So, you know, but that shouldn't surprise you. It is a DreamWorks movie. But yeah, I see what you're saying. I think you're right. I think at least in part, if not in whole.
Yeah, I like the addition of Awkwafina, her character Zen. I just like Awkwafina.
She's like becoming the go-to animated voice these days.
Seriously. Well, she can knock it out of the park. She has a very distinctive voice, and it lends itself perfectly to voice animation. Plus, just her charisma and her persona. Mm-hmm. Is very not intoxicating. Well, it could be intoxicating, but exciting.
Yeah. I think she's doing good work. I think it's always interesting to have such a distinct voice, you know, pop in. I oftentimes wonder if it's a bit distracting. You know, I almost like more associating a voice as a character. And instead of going, oh, hey, Awkwafina, hi, how are you? You know what I mean? Like that's, and what's interesting about Jack Black is I really hear Poe in these movies. It definitely is Jack Black and he has a distinctive voice. But for whatever reason, just the way he performs it here, maybe because it's so different from his persona. Like the Jack Black persona is so full of confidence and, you know, insanity. And Poe is always a little bit, above his skis, right? Like he's a little out over his skis sometimes. And so maybe there's a little bit of difference character wise there. We also have Viola Davis hopping in as Chameleon. And I think
The Chameleon.
Sorry. The Chameleon. Listen, that name can change to whatever it wants to be.
I see what you did there.
And I think doing good work. I think Viola Davis is doing good work there as well. So, yeah.
She's doing good work. I don't think the character itself, which is for me the weakest part of the movie.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I agree, by the way. Maybe not weakest part of the movie, but I agree that there's real issues with the villain.
Yeah, it's just a bad villain because bad. You know, and it really doesn't, like, if I remember Tai Lung, was that Ian McShane's character's name from the first one?
Yep.
You know, there was an actual reason and a motivation behind that character, like, you know, getting back at Mr. Ping and all the Warrior Five. Is that what they're called, the Warrior Five?
I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah.
I'm remembering a lot more about Kung Fu Panda than I thought I did.
conspicuously completely absent from this movie until the end.
Yes,
yeah,
they
until
are.
The credits. So, yeah.
Yeah. Some people from the other movies, like Bryan Cranston, is back, who I'm glad to see. There was the Mr. Ping and Lee with the Bryan Cranston and James Hong characters, a dynamic duo together. I really adored. I found it quite endearing seeing them, you know, have, because we always saw Lee as this calm, relaxed person. So to see him finally break and get nervous and stuff was, you know, it, humanizing is a weird thing to say, but that's what these movies try and do. They try to humanize these characters, even though they're anthropomorphized.
I think we talk a little bit about the villain, and I think I'll kind of go there a little bit more to say that the villain is not only a villain for villain's sake, it's also a lazy play the hits type villain. Without giving away too much, the villain is capable of just being like, nostalgia can be bad or good, right? Can there be bad nostalgia? Like or evil nostalgia, or, you know, maybe malstalgia. I don't know. Is that a word?
Now, because I like it. Malstalgia.
But that's what this villain is doing, is playing the malstalgia, you know, like playing the idea of, oh, you don't have to make this villain anything special, because we're going to use our previous work that we've done in other movies to make it work for you, to make it evil for you. And it also falls into, you know, at one point, just the same versus same thing we've seen in so many movies, where, like, you know, your worst enemy is actually yourself, or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a really, really lazy way to do this plot. And as much as the movie is supposed to be, and I think works to some level, to be about seeing things in people that you wouldn't necessarily expect to see them in, I think the overall theme of this movie is not to judge a book by its cover, but to allow people to change, allow people to, to grow, in that sometimes the obvious choice isn't the best choice. Like, all those are kind of themes of what's going on here. But the villain doesn't really have... at least doesn't play into that as much as it should. Like, look, if your theme is about how people change, to have a villain that can change makes a lot of sense, but I didn't see them using it in this movie in any really clever and intelligent way to make that point or to make that theme. It was just a gimmick, and it didn't really even play into the theme at that point. So,
and I think that is what separates, like, a Pixar movie, like an Inside Out or something like that, from Kung Fu Panda 4, is the fact that if you don't go that extra mile to make that analogy work or that metaphor work, you know, then it comes across what I called earlier the lowest common denominator of a kids movie. You know, like, they didn't push it to go that extra mile, which I can kind of understand. It's the fourth movie. You're not trying to break ground with the fourth movie. You're trying to do a cash grab. And I think that for the cash grab they did, it was serviceable.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. And I think there will always be diminishing returns. I like that they kind of let some characters just be off doing their own adventures and refocus this movie, because a lot of these animated sequels really deal with what I've always called the Ice Age problem, which is you introduce three new characters in the second movie, then you have to bring back all the original characters plus the three new characters plus three new characters in the third movie, five new characters in the third movie, and then you're dealing with 15 characters in the fourth movie that you have to bring back, and then you also want to add three or four new characters in the fourth movie, and by, you know, Ice Age Continental Drift or whatever, you've got a cast of 30 different, you know, animals that really don't make sense together and just muddle up the whole thing.
And aren't they supposed to be going extinct? How there are more and more and more of them.
So I think there is some real wisdom here in just going, in just a throwaway line that's just like, they're off doing their own stuff. And then you don't have to worry about including everybody here.
Slash paying.
Well, that, yes. certainly a more cynical way to look at it, but probably true.
I'm sorry to dampen your children's movie, but no, Hollywood producers are going to Hollywood produce.
What a great artistic decision they made. And you're like, yeah, saving the dollars. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably more accurate. But anyways, it's nice that both things maybe can be true for them. They can save some dollars and it's also like maybe keep it artistically fresh.
Why can't
fresh.
Both things be true?
Why not? So yes, I don't know that there's a ton to say about this movie. I think one of the stalwarts of this franchise has been the fun animated Kung Fu. I think that remains here. There's some fun scenes, some interesting moves. Again, not a lot new. There's not necessarily a lot that's fresh, but it works. And the animated style is nice and the models are great. And, it's fun to look at. This movie's fun to look at. Like, your eyes aren't going to get bored, really, as you watch this movie.
No, yeah. And Phil just put up a picture on the YouTube video, and that's just a testament to the visual spectacle that you can expect from this movie.
Yeah. It's really, really beautiful. All right. I don't have a lot more. Do you have anything else you wanted to mention, Andrew?
Well, I already mentioned that there is a post-credit, like during the credit song, mm-hmm. that I would recommend everybody. And that's kind of like if you want your nostalgia for the first movie, I think that that's kind of where you'll get it in a quick little montage.
Right.
But I'm not upset that I watched this movie.
No, it's perfectly pleasant. And if you've got kids that you want to entertain for a couple hours, there's certainly worse ways that you could have done it. You know, like this, it's not bad.
That's what I can end on. That's what I can end on real quick is I went to a sensory friendly viewing of this movie. And for those of you who do not know what that is, a sensory friendly viewing, and maybe they don't do this at every theater, but it's for like nursing mothers and for kids to come in. So it's really loud, you know, and like the lights are not as dark as they would be. The kids in my theater were having a blast. I mean, they were laughing and they were giggling and, yeah. You know, so the demographic this movie is aimed at, it hit. I could definitely say that it hit.
I believe that is the case. It is Kung Fu Panda 4. It is in theaters. It's a nice brisk hour and 34 minutes. So, you know, I'm not going to take a ton of time either. And it ends with the best cover of Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby one more time until we talk about the next movie. amazingly enough, both movies feature Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby one more time predominantly.
I don't know which one I like more.
Let's talk a little bit about Ricky Stenicki.
Stenicki, what up, man? Are you serious? Have someone call me when you get out of surgery, all right?
You should drive out there. Ricky's been there for you guys your whole lives.
The devil's in the details, my friend.
It worked!
Atlantic City, here we come.
What we got?
Ricky's cancer's back.
Why does it have to be cancer? Won't everybody get worried?
Yeah.
And that's gonna take us right into the World Series.
To Ricky Stenicki, the best friend we never had. Mm.
When three childhood best friends pull a prank gone wrong, they invent the imaginary Ricky Stenicki to get them out of trouble. 20 years later, the trio still uses non-existent Ricky as a handy alibi for their immature behavior. But when their spouses and partners get suspicious and demand to finally meet the fabled Mr. Stenicki, the guilty trio decide to hire a washed-up actor and raunchy celebrity impersonator to bring him to life. This is on Amazon Prime, and I think dropped there this week, features John Cena as the title character, if you can see him. And the question is, Andrew, did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
Before I get to that, I have something I need to tell you, and I have to honestly apologize to everybody that's listening, because I never do this. But we had our schedules changed on the, and I'm not blaming you for this, Aaron.
No. It was a late schedule change for sure.
I was under the influence whenever I was watching this movie. Just because of the time schedule that I had. So all of my, you know, preconceived notions.
So what you're saying is you loved it.
No. So I will come down on this movie saying that it was okay.
It was okay. I'm coming down on the low side of okay just barely avoiding saying I didn't like it. And I will let you talk, because I think you're a little bit higher than me at just okay. You're welcome. So yes, we let the person who is higher go first. So that will definitely be Andrew this time. I will let you go first, but I will say that if it weren't for John Cena, it might be a hated it kind of movie for me.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about what you enjoyed about Ricky Stenicki.
Well, you got it right off the bat. I think that John Cena is the only person in this movie who knows what movie he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. Everybody else is trying to play it a little bit more serious. No, John is having a great time. You can tell, and I think that he finally has, not, I'm not saying that the movie is as good as like what you would see a Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie do, but at least from the movie that I saw, he has some charisma to him that I finally was, that I've been dying to see him. He kind of has it in Peacemaker, but he's doing a character in that one. And this one is just a film that he's just having a blast doing. And it comes across as genuine, and you can feed off of that.
Yeah. Let's see. I think it's hard for me to know where to start on this one, because so much of the predominant thoughts I have are negative. We already talked a little bit about John Cena. So why don't I just start there and then kind of transition into some negative stuff?
Go for it.
I think it's the charisma thing. I think, and Zac Efron, by the way, has tons of charisma. He's a charisma dude, and it's just not working in the same way here as John Cena. And I think you're right. I think Cena understands the Farrelly tone a little bit better than anybody else in this movie, because this is a Peter Farrelly movie, which makes sense when you see a lot of the raunchy gags and those kind of things. And so I think John Cena finds a way, even in a movie that is pretty bad, in my opinion, to shine through with a little bit of charisma. Now, this is coming from somebody who hasn't really enjoyed John Cena's acting career. I'm not the one who has seen him in other movies and gone, oh, that's a movie star. Oh, that's a great actor. And I still feel the same way, which is this is a person you have to put in the right role for his comedic sensibilities to really come through like they do in this movie. Now, I will transition into the negative to say, as soon as I started seeing this movie as almost a cookie cutter cable guy kind of movie, where mm-hmm. the person who has no friends gloms on, you know, to somebody and tries to be something they're not and lies about who they are. And then there's specific scenes in this movie. Like there's a scene in the boardroom where he says something honest to somebody, and that, you know, like he says F you to somebody, and then the boss is also like, yeah, yeah, F you or whatever. That's Liar Liar. That's the board. That's literally the boardroom scene from Liar Liar.
Yeah, that's cookie cutter right out of that scene.
And look, I know comedy can happen in multiple ways, and you can do the same thing in different kinds of ways. But when it happens multiple times in a movie, I'm just thinking, is John Cena trying to be Jim Carrey here? Like you almost feel like he's trying to do a Jim Carrey type performance. And he's not completely failing at it, by the way. So that could be a direction thing. That could be a Farrelly thing.
I was just about to say, it's probably a Farrelly thing, the way the character's written.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him trying to be a Jim Carrey. I don't see him being wild and crazy and contorting his face like he's trying to, you know.
I don't think anybody can contort their face like Jim Carrey can.
That's
I think
true.
He's a unicorn in that way.
He really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that from John Cena. I thought that he was trying to live the character as authentically ridiculous as possible.
Yeah. My main negative, and the reason that I would likely be even lower in the didn't liked it, maybe even to the hated it, is these are the most unlikable protagonists I've ever seen.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Like you cannot set up this premise and expect me to care about these people. Like You can't tell me these people are doing the things they're doing and then expect any kind of redemption that you're giving me. Now, maybe a better movie can figure out how to redeem them, but this movie certainly couldn't.
No,
and it tried to give a little backstory to the Zac Efron character, just like wave at it a little bit, like, oh, your childhood. I know you had a rough childhood and you were abused, you know, by your parents, and I'm not making light of that.
It's so fleeting.
It's so fleeting, and it does not in any way directly excuse this abhorrent behavior. Just absolutely abhorrent behavior. So I think the premise is a little too ridiculously evil for its own good. And I think the Jermaine Fowler character is supposed to be the one that we're supposed to go, okay, so somebody was trying to say not, you know, to be this way or whatever. And maybe he's the most likable of the three main characters because of that. But the Andrew Santino character, by the way, I love Andrew Santino. I think he's really funny. Mm-hmm. And he's funny in this, but he's a nothing burger like of ethical morality choice making. Like, it's almost like he's a sociopath in this movie. Like, nothing, he doesn't think about the moral ramifications of any of this stuff, it doesn't seem like to me. It set itself up for failure from the beginning, in my opinion, because I guess I'm supposed to care about, you know, Ricky Stenicki, and maybe Ricky's the protagonist, but that's not the structure of the screenplay. The structure of the screenplay is that the Zac Efron character is the protagonist.
Yeah, so, it really is. They focused on the wrong guy here.
I don't know how you change it. I don't, like, unless they all really get some sort of comeuppance and they're not, you know,
That's kind of
in a good place at the end.
This movie is cookie cutter, kind of how Kung Fu Panda was. Cause as soon as I got to the airport, like in the very beginning of the movie, I was like, I know exactly how this movie's going to play out. I know each storyboard point that it's going to hit. Mm-hmm. And I was right. But the journey that it did take me on to get there had some laughs in it and had some, you know, unique perspectives, only from the John Cena character, though. The redemptive arc and the positive, I guess you can't even call it positive reinforcement because it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
But the positive message that John Cena is sending at the end of this movie is something that you could take home to. And discuss, you know, like second chances and not letting them slip by. It's very Eminem in that way.
They really are the same movie, Kung Fu Panda 4 and Ricky Stenicki, all about second chances.
Yeah.
I also think there is a zag that this movie does that I appreciated, where it kind of went counter to what most cliches that movies will do. And that is, I'll give away a little bit of the movie. I don't think it's going to harm your experience watching this movie anyway. But there is a moment where somebody is recording something and then a fight starts and the phone that's recording gets thrown away. And you know, as a movie watcher, somehow this recording is going to come back. And the recording has the person admitting to something that somebody doesn't know, right? Like, and they don't realize it's still recording and they're, you know, and admitting it clearly and does that thing. And so as a movie watcher, you're going, oh, here's the cliche. That recording is going to get back to this person and it's going to tell them something they didn't know. And that's going to set off the third act conflict and blah, blah, blah. And it also includes this person saying something kind and nice about somebody, about the same person. And the movie zags because it has actually the nice part be the surprise recording part and not the the person.
Everything else.
Yeah, the person already knew the stuff that, you know, they think they didn't know or whatever. So it doesn't have anything to do with that. I liked that zag. And at the same point, it kind of neutered the progression of the plot in a weird way that person didn't really find out. They just knew. So I appreciated the movie's attempt to zag on the plot resolution, like to do it a little bit of a different way than most movies like this would do it. So I was aware of that. It just didn't work for me. It just didn't. And again, I think so much of it comes down to just how extremely unlikable these characters are.
I laughed. This movie did get me a good laugh. One time it had a good laugh for me. Did you laugh at all in this movie?
A few times, actually. Okay. Yeah.
Zac Efron saying, "I feel like Jason Bateman in every episode of Ozark."
Uh-huh, sure.
That slayed me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I thought some of the raunchy stuff was funny, too. I thought some of the celebrity impersonation songs were funny. They were clever. They were, written in a funny way. I thought the unintentional hand motions that the boss would make. I thought that
William
was a
H.
funny
Macy's
little...
great in this.
Yeah. Yes. William H. Macy actually is the other person in this who I think understands their role as a straight person in this movie and sells everything. But yeah, I thought some of that stuff was funny. It's just, it's hard for me to go to find my way into anything beyond, yeah, I laughed some. But what is it? Yeah, I laughed some. And yeah, John Cena, fits well in this kind of situation. But what is this movie? And why am I supposed to care? And you know me, I want to care. I want it to mean something. And I think this movie tries to mean something, but just completely undercuts itself in so many different ways.
If they had, I don't think there's a way to write the ship when you have three protagonists this unlikable.
I don't know how you do it again, unless they are the villains the whole time. Unless the movie ends with an admission that, they're the villains. That's the only way. 'Cause it's unconscionable. To me, I can't understand it. I can't understand the sociopathy that would lead to the situations that they're doing. But it's like that from the beginning. I mean, the thing that launches the Ricky Stenicky name is, also pretty serious and probably should have resulted in some consequences. But yeah.
I'm not going to lie. As a kid, that is something I would have done.
Well, yeah, but I think you would. I mean, maybe I'm just Mr. Goody Two Shoes, but I think you immediately dial 911 as soon as it starts going wrong. And I don't know. It's just it's just one of those movies that it was hard for me to buy into in a lot of ways. Any final thoughts on Ricky Stenicky?
No post credit scene that I saw.
No, I don't think so. Unless you imagined one in your altered state that you want to explain to us.
Maybe the post-credit scene is just more of John Cena singing different pop songs.
Yes. Yeah. There might have been a few more of those. Those were interspersed throughout. That is Ricky Stenicky. It is on Prime. You can check it out there. Does Prime have ads in their movies too, now that they have the ad thing?
Yeah. This is so weird. This happened to me. I'm like, I'm paying for Prime. Why are there ads?
Yeah, you got to pay for non-ads now.
Aaron,
which I immediately did because I'm a sucker.
Aaron, I got too many streaming services, and they're all asking me to pay extra for no ads. I don't like it.
Yeah, well, then watch the ads, I guess. Watch the ads. That's the trade-off. There you go. That is Ricky Stenicky. Okay, before we head into the best ever challenge, thank you again to our SifPop members. If you want to be a member of SifPop or wonder what that means, it's basically people who support us. It starts at $3 a month and it happens through Patreon. And there's some fun bonuses, some extra episodes that we do there just for our members. You have your own podcast feed at different levels. So some fun stuff going on there if you want to check it out. Again, that's patreon.com/SiftPop, SiftPop. And thank you. Thanks for considering that. And thanks to those who do it. And even if you don't, thanks to those who let other people know about the podcast. We appreciate everything you do to keep SiftPop going strong. So thank you for that.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, on to the best ever challenge. Best ever Jack Black movies. We will go number five to number one. And of course, if you have something higher than somebody else,
Trump!
You will trump it so we can talk about it when you have it. All right, I'll go first with my number five.
What you got?
I have Tropic Thunder at number five.
Trump!
I assumed that that would be the case. What's your number five, Andrew?
This is where I have Demolition Man.
I had forgotten he was in that.
Everybody has forgotten he was in this because he is a background character that you only see for 1 second. Doesn't even have a line. But Demolition Man has a special place in my heart. I remember just watching this movie growing up. I love Sly. He's one of my favorite actors. And I think Wesley Snipes knows exactly what type of movie he's in, and he just goes for it, and it's great.
Yeah. Yep. I was just having a Demolition Man conversation with friends recently about how good of a movie it is, and this friend was upset that people love it now because they loved it from the beginning, and it was theirs first.
Oh. I'm like that with a few movies. Very childish, but we all do it.
We all do it. All right, number four. I have High Fidelity at number four.
Sorry, buddy.
That's all right. We'll be able to talk about him eventually. One, okay, what's your number four?
Weird, the Al Yankovic story.
I'm glad you have it at number four. I'm glad you have it at number four because I have it at number three. So we can go ahead and talk about it now. Weird the Al Yankovic story is exactly as amazing as I thought it would be and wanted it to be. I love how just absolutely insane it gets. I love the performance, and I love that this movie got awards consideration for like TV movie awards and that kind of stuff. It is just so much fun. It's so hilarious. The way it portrays the cliches of biopics is perfect for me. It parodies like you would expect a Weird Al thing to do. And I love it. So yeah, Weird's really great.
I will say that whenever I was making this list, Weird, the Al Yankovic story, was actually the one that I was the most excited to rewatch, even though it's my number four. Mm. But just the thought of watching it, I'm like, ooh, that's going to the top of my rewatch list.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun watch for sure. All right. What do you got at number three?
This is where I have Tropic Thunder.
Nice. Talk about it.
Yeah. What a crazy, crazy movie that would never in a million years get made today.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that it did get made. I think that every single person in this movie is perfectly cast. I think Jack Black is hilarious. I think Robert Downey Jr. is hilarious. Ben Stiller is hilarious.
Oscar award winner, Robert Downey Jr.
Oscar award winner, Kirk Lazarus.
That's right.
Yeah. The movie's wild. The movie's absolutely wild. And it makes me cry. I laugh so hard every single time I watch it. It's brilliant.
It is. It is a brilliant film. Was just talking about this one with somebody about the surprise extra trailers at the beginning that for a lot of people were like, wait, is this a real
thing?
Real? What is Booty Sweat? What am I watching? Like, yeah, it was. This movie was something else, man. Something else. I echo what you have to say. I think this movie could get made today. I think
even the Robert Downey Jr. stuff.
I think so. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am ethically challenged. I don't know. But I think the movie is making the point. The movie is not. It is not being the thing. It's making fun of the thing. Like
exactly.
So I still think you could possibly get away with this today. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's just that sensitivity is too high, and I get it. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I think at face value, people can, you know, scoff at it and look down on it. But once you actually look at the commentary that they're trying to make with the Robert Downey Jr. is that these self-interested Hollywood elites who mm-hmm. think only of the end product as opposed to what the mm-hmm. actual ramifications of what they're doing can lead to. So yeah, it's making fun of Hollywood. It's Hollywood making fun of Hollywood.
At face value, I see what you did there. Face value, yeah. I see what you did there. All right, let's move on to our my number two.
Your number two.
Run to my number two. This is where I have the Cable Guy in at number two. I mentioned this movie earlier. Mentioned that there are a lot of shades of this movie in Ricky Stenicki. And I think this is one of the, probably the first Jim Carrey performance that was like, okay, range. Okay. You've got some stuff going on here. Because it's not just Jim Carrey pulling faces. He's playing this desperate character. Beyond that, this movie is hilarious. Broderick is a perfect straight man to what's going on here. And Jack Black is a perfect, you know, friend trying to tell him, you know, what's going on. So, Cable Guy is definitely high on my list of check it out.
It's on my list of shame.
Ooh, that'd be a fun one for you to finally watch sometime.
You it's have it at your number two. That's high praise. So it might also get bumped up on my watch list.
Yeah, totally. What's your number two?
This is where I have King Kong.
Trump. But let's go ahead and talk about it because it's time for our number ones, and I have King Kong at number one. I do not understand why this movie wasn't a bigger hit than it was.
It's phenomenal.
It's so good and so well done, and Peter Jackson has such a gift for world building. The stuff on the island is just mind-blowing. Now, granted, I haven't watched this in a few years, so I cannot speak to whether or not the effects hold up, whether or not the CG holds up, that kind of stuff. I just remember watching it feeling like it was real, and they had actually gone to an island with giant spiders and dinosaurs, and that Dino King Kong fight is so good. So good. And add to that, it really captures the themes of the movie and, you know, what's going on and the idea of love conquering prejudice and all those kind of things. It's all right there. So Peter Jackson's King Kong is my number one.
Yeah, I want to echo everything you just said. I like the fact that if you look at the 39, is that when the original one came out, 1939?
That sounds right to me. I know it was right around there.
Okay.
And well, I just watched the 76 with Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges?
And, yeah, yeah.
Is it Jessica Lange? Is that who else?
I think it is Jessica Lange, yeah.
Yeah. That movie's weird. But if you look at the original 39, and please correct me if I'm wrong in the chat, King Kong's a villain in that one. Peter Jackson had the brilliant idea of making King Kong an innocent hero in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And as opposed to whenever spoilers for this movie that came out in 2005. Whenever King Kong dies in the original one, everybody's cheering and like, yeah, we got him. And this one, when King Kong dies, I was bawling my eyes out.
Yeah,
it broke my heart.
Yeah,
because he's just so pure and innocent. He's like a little dog that's, well, like a giant dog.
Yeah.
But he has emotion. He has feelings. He has a personality. He has a soul.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I think a little bit of that is there in the 30s version. But you're right. It has more of the element of a monster movie where you're trying to, you know, conquer the monster. but yeah, in the end, it was beauty that killed the beast.
And Jack Black, I think if you go back and you rewatch this movie and you really think about it, Jack Black is actually a brilliant villain in this one.
Because I think it's a perfect choice. Yeah.
Even that last line of it wasn't the airplanes that got him, it was beauty that killed the beast. He still can't take ownership for his role in what happened to King Kong.
Yep. So. It's good stuff. What is your number one? I think I have an idea.
Yep. is it High Fidelity?
It is.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. High Fidelity, Andrew's number one. No, this movie has been one of my favorites for a very long time. I think it's still in my top 100 movies of all time. And I'm not even a big music guy. Like...
Which really is what the movie is about. Like, I mean,
it's all about music.
Yeah.
But no, the friendship between John Cusack, Jack Black, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the third gentleman's name. But the three store clerks, just them sitting around talking about music is how me and my friends used to sit around talking about movies. So I could, that was my end. Like, I understand that type of friendship, that type of connection that you have with somebody else where your persona is built around and predicated upon this thing that you love. That is a part of you. And that's the point of the movie is John Cusack even breaks it down literally at the very end. The message of the movie is like, these things matter. The music that you listen to, the movies you watch, the people you hang out with, these things do matter and they define you and they can help you find social circles and different people that you can experience life with. It's for as depressing a movie as it is, the message itself is very uplifting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think it's written very well. It's very clever. I think this was the movie that probably broke Jack Black. I mean, like into the mainstream in many ways. I think before this you'd seen him in some things, but after this it was like, who's that guy? You know what I mean? Stephen Frears directed it. Just does some great stuff. I talk often about Philomena, which he also directed, which is so good. I really, really enjoy this movie. So yeah, High Fidelity. Good choice for your number one. It was my number four. Honorable mentions.
So many.
So certainly are quite a few. I actually only picked three to mention, but
I did get the Gurus.
Let's start there.
Through? Okay. Yeah. Gurus. Coming in at number three, we have High Fidelity.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Number two, we have Tropic Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And a movie that was not on either of our list blew every other movie out of the park. It was crazy. School of Rock.
Yeah, that's in my first honorable mention. I get it. I think that movie holds a really special place to the generation right below me, which I think is your generation, Andrew. So, like, I think School of Rock would hit you pretty square in the nostalgia feels, but maybe it's just one that you missed. But it doesn't surprise me because our writers are, you know, kind of a younger generation than I. So yeah, School of Rock, I'm sure, really resonates with them.
Yeah. Maybe I was just on the tail end of a generation before. I like the movie. I like the movie. I just don't have that. For a lot of people, maybe this is the movie they think of whenever they think of Jack Black.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it for sure. And it is fun. And it, he's great in it. But yeah, no, good choice. It was my first honorable mention. I'll go ahead and mention my other two. Anchorman, wanted to throw out there. I think that's a fun movie. And then I wanted to give a shout out to Bernie.
Yes.
If you've never seen Bernie, see Bernie. I think it stretches Jack Black in a way that, I haven't really seen him stretch in other movies, and he's really good in it, and the movie is really good. So check out Bernie.
That was my very first honorable mention, and I really wanted to mention that one because not a lot of people have seen it, and it's Jack Black, like you said, really pushing his acting chops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What others did you want to throw out there?
I think Nacho Libre is adorable. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love this movie. And then there's three movies that he's in that I like. Enemy of the State.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving this because he's not really a real major prominent part in these movies. The Jackal is... he has a part in that movie, and then he gets taken apart in that movie.
Yep.
And then a movie that we just talked about not too long ago, because it has every single person who was ever in a movie in it, and that is Mars Attacks.
Yes. Yeah, Mars Attacks, another good choice. Well, there you go. Best ever Jack Black movies. Feel free to let us know what we missed. All right, let's finish up with some buried treasure. Andrew, what's that one thing in any area of pop culture that you want to make sure people know about? Why don't you go first?
I'm going to go with the Vigima game. Yeah. An older Vigima game. It's going to be Wolf Among Us.
Okay.
I may have had this as a buried treasure a long time ago. If I do, I apologize. Telltale Games. Have you ever played a Telltale game, Aaron?
You'd have to tell me what some of the you'd have to tell me tale of what the Telltale games are.
They're basically choose your own adventure games. Okay. So as you're playing, it's like you get four options, like for dialogue or for movement and stuff like that. And then as you play it, the story changes. Very similar to you played Until Dawn recently, didn't you?
Yes.
This is a more comic. It's based off of a graphic novel. The basic premise of this is all the grim fairy tale creatures have moved to New York, and they are now living in New York under disguise. And you have characters like the Big Bad Wolf, Snow White, the Three Little Pigs, and you're playing as the Big Bad Wolf. You are now Bigsby, the detective, and you're like the sheriff of this world, taking care of all the grim fairy tales. And there's been a murder, and you have to find out who murdered this fairy tale creature. It's very, very fun. It's all narrative based, and the themes are great.
I looked up Telltale games. I don't think I've played any of them. There's a few Batman games in there, and then this one, and apparently the sequel to this, by the way, coming later this year.
That's why I just replayed it. I think the original one came out in 2008, so it's been a long time.
Yeah, it says after a decade long wait, so I don't know if. So that would be 2014, but maybe it just means it was announced 10 years ago. I don't know.
It was announced. It was announced so long ago.
So, yeah, interesting stuff. It sounds like a type of game I might enjoy. It takes a lot for me to play a video game. I just have too many movies I want to watch. It's so wild.
Well, I should also mention this. It's broken down into chapters. So you can play a chapter and then quit. Mm-hmm. And then you play the next chapter and quit. And I think each chapter is like 45 minutes long.
Okay. There you go. That is The Wolf Among Us as a video game.
What you got, Aaron?
My buried treasure. I don't think I've talked about this yet. We're four episodes in. Have I mentioned Shogun yet?
No.
Okay. So it's always interesting to me because obviously I do several podcasts and recommend all sorts of different things. And I know I've recommended this. I couldn't remember if I'd done it here. I have, I think even in the past, done a buried treasure the week after I already did it. Like this is bound to happen every once in a while. But if I haven't talked about Shogun, let me talk about Shogun. It is really great world building and feels like... Are you watching it, Andrew?
I have not watched episode 4, which I believe just came out. Mm-hmm. I've watched the first three.
Yeah. It is very Game of Thrones in that it feels like we're getting to know a lot of political intrigue very quickly and very well. Like, it's really building these characters, how they relate to each other, the world. It's interesting. One example of just some artistic choices the show makes. So in this show, Portugal is, has made contact with Japan, but the English haven't. And so in the show, Japanese is spoken when it's Japanese, but when it's Portuguese being spoken, it's English.
Yes.
So Portuguese is like the language we understand. And it kind of gets a little interesting because then there is somebody from England in the show as a primary character. And sometimes you're wondering, wait, are they actually speaking English or are they speaking Portuguese right now? Like, because they're definitely speaking English colloquially, with the phrases they're using and stuff. And I'm like, do they have that phrase in Portuguese? That seems like a very English phrase. So, but it's interesting. Yeah, but it's very, very interesting. And I think it's the point of Crossed. It's also very culturally educational, I think, with a lot of the Japanese culture and customs and, the weight put on honor and the idea of, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it, seppuku, is that what it is? And just, ending your family line. If you make a mistake, a humiliating mistake, you not only end your own life, you end the life of any of your heirs. And like, it's really a really fascinating show. And I like what I've seen so far in that I'm very interested to see where it goes. So, managed to check the first four episodes of Shogun out. By the time you hear this, there will be a fifth on the way very quickly. And that's, by the way, on Hulu, FX on Hulu. So that's where you want to check that out.
Nice.
And Andrew, I think you're really going to love this show. I think it feels like something right up your alley.
I'm really enjoying it so far. I really am. Very nice. I can't wait to jump on the fourth one.
That is Shogun. It is available on Hulu, and Andrew mentioned Wolf Among Us, which is a video game. I imagine available on Steam or anywhere you might get your games. Well, that's going to do it. Thanks. Woo. Thanks so much. We managed to do a podcast. Thanks for joining us for Sif Pop Today. It is part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find out more about other shows on the network at studiodna.media or by searching Studio DNA in your podcast player. Huge thanks to Andrew for hanging out with us today.
Thank you, buddy.
Big thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show.
Thanks, Phil.
Much love and gratitude to our Sif Pop members for giving monthly to make Sif Pop a real thing. Support starts at $3 a month. You get access to bonus episodes and other fun perks at the different levels. You can find out more at patreon.com/sifpop. Lots of ways to connect with the podcast. You can leave a comment, a rating, or a review at Apple Podcasts or email us at feedback@sifpop.com. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the show too, so let them know about it, and listening is much easier than blending in when you're John Cena dressed like Britney Spears. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more. So we won't be here next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk more movies, and we will see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.